DW Africa Link.
Children are vulnerable from infancy throughout their childhood, relying on adults for safety and ongoing nurturing. This makes them defenseless to neglect and maltreatment in various forms, including extreme forms like child soldiers, children of war, child prostitution, and child labor. These extreme forms of maltreatment are generally condemned, and efforts are made to prevent such abuses in most countries. However, according to UNESCO, one major challenge in understanding the scope of the problem is the limited availability of substantiated data on the number of reported cases of child abuse. This is what this podcast is about. Stay tuned. My name is Josie Mahachi. Hello and welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that brings you to the stories that matter from Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
A recent survey by the Pan-African Survey Group, Afrobarometer, revealed that a majority of Malawians believe that vulnerable children often struggle to receive the necessary help and support in their communities. Approximately 4 in 10 citizens describe child abuse and neglect as common in their community, and a majority report that out-of-school children are a frequent occurrence. Despite these challenges, a majority of Malawians believe that their government is effectively promoting the well-being of vulnerable children. However, foster homes continue to experience a surge in the numbers of admissions. So, how effective are governmental interventions, and why are child neglect cases on the rise? Joining me to discuss this are Memory Chisenga, a child and women's rights advocate in Malawi, and our DW correspondent in Lilongwe, Chimwemwe Padata. So thank you so much for joining us here on DW Africa Link podcast. We'll start with you, Mary. I mean, just a general overview to understand, why do we have so many children being neglected by their parents?
Thank you so much for having me. In Malawi, we have so many children that are being neglected by their parents due to a number of factors. But the first factor is just generally, it's a behavior that we are finding that most men, most women are just deliberately neglecting the children. So today, if you go to the victim support unit, if you go on the streets, if you go to rehabilitation centers, you find children that have both parents alive and well, but they're in the rehabilitation centers. When you ask them, what are your parents doing about this? They will tell you that my parents stopped taking care of me and I had to come on the street to survive, to find something to eat, to find something to wear. Here I am. So you find that it's generally the behavior that most parents are doing nowadays of neglecting children and letting them go on the streets. And you find that some even go to the West Point, where a mother has come from another city, leaving the children without anybody in another city. And you ask them, where is your mother? So this is very serious in Malawi, because a number of children that we have been able to reintegrate, maybe to get them back to their parents, have complained that their mothers, their fathers are there, but it's just generally just the behavior of neglecting the children and not abiding by the law. And now another factor that is quite common nowadays is the issue of divorce and separation in Malawi, which is also quite on the higher side. That has also contributed a lot to neglect.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering, from what you say, Memory, you mentioned about some kids that end up going to the streets because of food, because of clothes and things like that. So could this be because maybe the parents can't afford it, poverty or something?
I was avoiding the issue of poverty, but it could be a general issue that we could say, okay, a household cannot manage to fend for the children, providing food, providing basic necessities. But maybe in the human rights perspective, we cannot really say that a parent can decide to neglect a child because they feel, oh, I am poor. I cannot manage to take care of my child. Because if you look at all of us today, we are coming from poor backgrounds where poverty has been the song of so many years. But these parents took up the responsibility to take care of us up to where we are today. So generally, Malawi has been hit hard in terms of the economy, in terms of poverty issues. But I find that it is just this sometimes lack of interest and also just negligence on the part of the parents to actually say, I'll take care of my child, despite the economic hurdles that everyone is facing generally in the country.
Absolutely. Like they say, the elephant never tires carrying its tusks. Now to you, Chibwemwe, you are a journalist and our correspondent on ground. From your reporting, tell us about how serious the issue of child neglect is in Malawi.
Right. Thank you so much, Josie. From my side, I would say that the issues of child neglect are common in Malawi. And I can give reference to cases that are being reported almost on a daily basis by the citizenry and other individuals who are running orphanages. If you may go through social media platforms such as Facebook, for example, you are likely to come across posts of good-willing Malawians seeking help and support for children who have either been abandoned or are orphans, as these children are unable to obtain the needed help in their communities. And also, that aside, I would make reference to the backlog of child neglect cases in our courts that was also mentioned by Memory. Hearing from child rights advocates, it appears that the country's courts are flooded with child neglect cases and also exploitation and child abuse cases. And this only paints a picture, a grim picture of the harsh reality that children in Malawi are facing, that they are facing neglect, and also which is also against the future of our nation.
Now, it's clear that this is a huge problem in Malawi. And Memory, earlier you mentioned about gaps in your legal system in the country. Now, what kind of policy is in place in Malawi to protect these children, and how good, in your opinion, are these policies or otherwise?
Very true. We have laws, actually, that protect our children from neglect. We have the Child Care Protection Justice Act 2010 that is clear in terms of child maintenance, child support, and actually criminalizes child neglect up to even a year, even 7 years in worse circumstances. So you find that we have these laws that our courts are supposed to use, but they're not being used. So when it comes to how it is working, it is not really working for the best interest of our children in the country, because if it was, I don't think we would have these backlogs of cases under the child justice courts that are in the country. And it also looks like, in terms of managing these cases, is also a challenge on where to go and how to manage everything up to the end. You find that most of the cases are being left hanging, despite that the Child Care Protection Justice Act clearly indicates the processes where maybe if a couple is separating, there's a divorce happening, how do you go about the issue of child care? How do you go about the issue of child maintenance, which is supposed to be a discussion even at that level at the Child Justice Court, or in other circumstances where a man has fathered a child elsewhere with someone who's maybe not married to them? How do you handle an issue of child maintenance? There's a court order that comes to say, okay, you are supposed to maintain this child. You are supposed to provide support, child care to this child up to the age of 18 years. That court order, how do we make sure that it is being followed? So despite having laws that we have, the Child Care Protection and Justice Act, but we are failing to actually make sure that it is operational and it is working in the best interest of children in the country that are affected by neglect.
So what should be done to solve this problem, Memory?
First and foremost, we need to look at our legal system, because most of these cases have been reported at our courts. So maybe we cannot really say, okay, we'll go at household level, at parenting level, but let's look at our legal system. How are our child justice courts working in terms of handling these cases? Is there a clear complaint mechanism at our child justice courts that can actually handle anybody who is not abiding by the ruling that comes in terms of child maintenance and neglect? And also, generally, we may have those reported cases under child justice court based on maybe if a couple has divorced, the father is not taking care of a child, or there is a man that has fathered a child somewhere and is not taking care of the child, someone has gone to report. But there are also these other children that are found on the streets. Their parents are alive, they are somewhere, but these children are neglected. How do we follow up to go and find the parents of these children? And if at all, these are orphans, they don't have anybody that they can be able to go to. Do we have enough rehabilitation centers in Malawi? We don't. If you look at one rehabilitation center that we have here in Lilongwe, you'll be shocked. It is not like a rehabilitation center at all. It is just like also a street place where these children just maybe find a shelter. There's no food, there's no proper structure that we can call a rehabilitation center. So as government, it is high time that we also need to start investing in having more rehabilitation centers of where we can take out these children from the streets and make sure that they go through rehabilitation and make sure that they become responsible citizens, send them back to school. And if those that we have, some of them have parents, let's monitor, let's go back to their parents and let's educate them. Let's make sure that they abide by the law. And also, we need to look at our courts, how our courts working. Are the magistrates not corrupt? If there's an issue of corruption, how do we deal with the issue of corruption? Because in some of the cases that have personally handled, we have seen that there's so much corruption between some of the court officers and the fathers of these so-called neglected children. Some of them go to the court and do some of the deals that protect them from actually paying for the child support.
Now, you just touched on something that the rehabilitation center that you, of course, you are in Lilongwe, the situation, the conditions are something that is quite distressing. But what numbers are we looking at? How many children, plus or minus, could be in that home?
Well, tentatively, we're looking about over 500 children that are placed at this confined small rehabilitation center. I've been there several times and I've felt really sad to say, are we calling this a rehabilitation center?
International organizations, NGOs, nobody is also looking into that?
So far, nobody's looking into that. We have a number of organizations that are working in Malawi, child protection interventions, but not really touching directly into the issue of child neglect. Mostly organizations that we have in Malawi are working on issues to do with child marriages, working to do with the sexual abuse and et cetera. But on the issue of child neglect, it is very few that are maybe not necessarily organizations, but these are people that have just committed to creating homes that can harbor children that are neglected. So you find that these are well-wishers that will go in the communities, maybe they will put up a structure and actually harbor children there that are neglected, make sure they go to school, make sure they eat. And they are not even gazetted by government, most of these homes that maybe well-wishers have been able to come through. But under the Ministry of Gender, under the Social Welfare, we know we have regulations. When you are coming up with a shelter to take care of children, you are supposed to have those regulations to ensure that when you take off those children and you bring them together to that home, you follow the standard regulations in terms of their health, in terms of how the place is supposed to be. But in Malawi, those things are not happening. We are just finding the people that are coming maybe on through Facebook. You find that, oh, they are taking care of children. This child has been neglected, so I've picked the child up and this is what is happening. And most of them solicit funds via social media. So well-wishers are able to contribute, and we don't even know how these children are actually living in these homes. So it's quite a tough situation for a Malawian child right now who is facing neglect.
Now, Chimwemwe, to you, how topical is it in the media and across the country? Do people talk about the issue as much as it is being reported in the media?
Frankly speaking, the issue of child neglect is slowly becoming a norm in Malawi, as the people don't give it much attention as it is reported in the media. I would say that the media is performing well in bringing to light issues bordering around child neglect abuse or exploitation. And this is done in collaboration with non-governmental organizations, as well as child rights advocates like Memory, who are working towards improving child protection systems. But at the moment, children are less involved and not listened to when found begging or loitering around the streets. And some of the contributing factors of neglect are poverty, as it was also said by Memory, and high levels of cost of living, which is also leading to the crumbling of families. So it seems that most people, including family members who see it firsthand, don't report child abuse or neglect. And usually I think that not talking about this issue more is the result of people trying to make child neglect acceptable or hiding this misconduct.
And does it appear that the government is doing something or doing well in addressing the issue, Chinwewe?
I don't think the government is doing enough, because this issue is not being given much publicity as it is supposed to. We need to give people more awareness about this issue and the importance of talking about the bad side of child neglect, and also introducing platform where people can talk about these issues. I feel that this is where we are failing as a nation, giving awareness to people, civic educating the masses, mainly those in remote areas who may not know the rights of the children. So we need to do more about it. Government has to come up with strategies to give awareness to people and civic educating the people, many of those in remote areas who are also in majority here in Malawi.
Now, Memory, orphanages are also taking in these kids. But the biggest question would be, how sure are we that they're also not taking advantage of them? Are they taking good care of them?
Now, that's our worry. That's our biggest worry as child rights advocates, because due to the situation in Malawi of child neglect, some have come out to say, oh, I have a home. They are running several care homes for children that have been neglected. We have the likes of Tusaiwe Yana, who is doing quite a great job. She has now built a school in northern Malawi where most of children that have been neglected go to, and also children with disabilities. So we are having a number of interventions in Malawi from personal perspectives. People that have just decided to rise to say, I'm going to step in and I'm going to help these children. But there are others as well that are quite questionable in terms of how they conduct themselves, in terms of how they run their homes when they're helping these children. So you'll find that someone is running a home where they are taking care of these children, and you go there, these children also found maybe farming in their farms. These children also found working on their personal projects, and you question that to say, is this part of the care home? Is it benefiting these children? There are some few elements where maybe it could relate to child labor, and also these days we have social media platforms. So someone comes on social media making sure that these children, they pose, maybe they take a picture, they're dressed okay, but what happens behind that? That is what we are worried about. Is it that it's a reality, or outside the Facebook, outside the social media, these children are being exploited in some way? So we really need to go on the ground to make sure that the people that have come as frontliners to intervene in these situations actually are able also to follow what the law says.
Memory Chisenga, a child and women rights advocate in Malawi, and our DW correspondent Chimwemwe Padata, thank you so much for joining us today on DW Africa Link podcast.
It's a pleasure.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
At the Africa Link podcast, we always look across the continent to see how the stories and issues we cover play out, or at times even overlap. Now, let's turn our discussion to Ghana. The West African country used to struggle with child protection issues decades ago. In November 2017, UNICEF, with support from the government of Ghana, launched the Ghanaians Against Child Abuse, GACA, campaign, which aligns with the government's child and family welfare and justice for children policies aimed at strengthening the child protection system in Ghana. Ghana has a Ministry for Gender, Children and Social Protection, which focuses on the needs of children. To also discuss further on this, we have Awo Aidam Amenya, a children's rights activist in Ghana and the executive director of Child Online Africa. Okay, so thank you so much, Ao, for joining us here on DW Africa Link, a podcast. We are talking about issues to do with children. Can you share with us some of the challenges Ghana had in the past when it comes to child protection issues and how the country tried to tackle them?
Thank you for the opportunity. Your question kind of got me thinking, have we really overcome the issues entirely? The answer is no, but we've made progress.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still having issues. However, yes, comparatively, there has been some progress in those fronts. So yes, we can say that there has been an improvement when it comes to child labor concerns, which hitherto was so rampant, and everywhere you pass, children are being exploited here and there. But then with the support from, I think when the government opened up to sort of work collaboratively with the private sector and the third sector, which is civil society organizations, progress has been made in that front, because systems have been put in place to either regulate or prevent the occurrence of those situations. And clearly, we don't have a perfect situation. However, we have seen that there is reduction in most of those instances. And clearly, whether there is child labor, there is a high possibility of human trafficking as well. So with those, all of that, the government has put in place regulations,
mm-hmm.
and laws, and civil societies have played a role in making sure that enough awareness is created at a community level to get people informed that these are the steps you could take if you find a child being used in a hazardous labor situation, or you've seen a child being taken away and all of that. And I think there has also been some, we call them CAT, community advocacy teams. So these are more like local people who are known by the people themselves, who have become more like a local level police, working to safeguard the interest of children and young people. So that has also contributed to a large extent in reducing child labor incidences. And cocoa growing areas have also been prone to such situations. And there have been some interventions around having producers or those who were involving the children to establish schools, which would help in educating these young people at the end of the day, so they don't get carried away by the situation.
You know, I'm just amazed with the way you explained this very well. And I was just going to ask you now where you think the country, Ghana, needs to work to improve child neglect issues.
If you ask me, the neglect is happening out of ignorance. So children go for programs, and parents are told, oh, when we take a photo or do a video of your child, we can upload it. Then your child will receive social media likes, and people will get to know, and your child will become a celebrity or a star.
Mm-hmm.
And so by virtue of that, parents give in. To the extent that even political campaigns, parents give in to their children to be used. And that is a form of neglect that they are not analyzing well enough. So it's something we are taking up to make sure that the right thing is done, so that children are not inadvertently or overly exposed in the space. So our laws should not be made just to suit maybe UN standards or UN framework or AU framework or anything, but we should make laws that we can enforce and apply at local level.
Yeah, there is a big issue happening in Malawi that
right.
Some homes are actually overpopulated with children, and there's negligence, and some are actually using these children in the name of fostering them for child labor and stuff. But in a minute, any advice you think you can give other African countries struggling with this issue, or what they can learn from Ghana?
I feel that that for Ghana, when it comes to fostering children and all of that, a time came when the government saw that children were being exploited for hazardous labor and treasure acts and things like that, they place an embargo on adoption externally. So if you want to adopt, it has to be a family adoption. Mm-hmm. So that if a family member is wealthy and can take care of your child, the child goes to that person rather than going to an external person.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the processes that were put in place. And they made sure, I would say that they made sure they enforced that one to the latter, to the extent that even people came externally with money and things, but they could not get the children because the law says ABC and people are ready to enforce that to the latter.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us today on DW Africa Link podcast. And all your insights have been so helpful, and I hope that a lot of African countries will also learn from this. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but a part of our community. Your feedback and participation makes this podcast what it is. We value your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us. Remember to click follow so you can catch all of the Africa Link podcast episodes. This podcast was co-produced and edited by Buba Jallo. My name is Josie Mahachi. Thanks for listening. And until next time, goodbye for now.
DW, made for minds.